Hello, everyone. Welcome to the only podcast dedicated solely to the band Night Ranger. But not just Night Ranger, but all things related to Night Ranger, including Damn Yankees, Shaw Blades, Rubicon, and even the solo works by the members. This podcast is for the fans, by the fans of Night Ranger. This show will normally feature three of us, the experts, Josh, Brent, and me. While I'm not really an expert on the technical stuff, I'm a huge fan and I'd love to talk about my favorite band. Josh and Brent will handle the stats and the facts while I try to keep the ship on path and avoid the icebergs. So let's get started, and welcome to the Night Machine.
Ooh.
Hey,
I'm no expert, by the way. I'm not an expert.
For the record, NBC moment.
Where am I in the while we're recording this, everybody? I'm going to ask everybody, where am I in your picture, Josh, for them? So if I'm pointing this way, who am I pointing to?
Nobody. You're pointing towards Andrew.
Okay.
But yes.
So what I want to say, when I go, this guy, I got some stories about this guy, people.
So
this
quickly,
guy,
let me introduce him.
I've only known for about a year, so.
Josh, you go ahead and introduce yourself. Say hi.
WNBC.
That's Josh. The psych in front of you, that's my boy Brent.
Yeah, I wore this for, there's a couple psychos on the page. I've got a couple Night Ranger shirts I'm going to save for different episodes. So you psychos know who you are. So I wore this tonight. Shouting out.
And
Andrew Parker?
I'm the man.
Yeah.
So introductions have been done. So quickly, we'll start with a little Night Ranger news, if there's any. Josh, I don't know if you have any, or Brent, if you have any.
Well, the biggest thing people are going to have to realize about, you know, these podcasts is we're probably going to be a week behind from recording this to when we release it. And with this episode, we don't quite know exactly when we're going to release it. So when you're watching it, this will probably be old news. But the Sammy Hagar Night Ranger tour was officially canceled. So that is no more.
That stinks.
But I do think Night Ranger announced a date at the Iowa State Fair. So
yeah, I think
that's
all.
There's promise then. I mean, there's something coming possibly.
Well, yeah,
from them.
But the only thing it's not promising is that it's in Iowa.
Sure. But Iowa does a great, or no, it's North Dakota that does a huge fair every year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, and really, besides that, I mean, you have Gary Moon and Brad Gillis working on Brad's solo album. But other than that, it's been kind of quiet. There's a few other things rumbling in the background, but we'll let those be released on their own.
Yeah, so the week we're recording this, just for our own continuity, is this is 5/23/2020. Like Josh said, anything by the time you hear this is probably old news, you know it, but just so we have that date stamped on our own show. So we're all here because you guys started this page, Fans in Motion. Josh, you want to talk about what sparked you and how you got this, and
what
page is?
What sparked it was the rock band Kiss. So I, you know, I'm also a Kiss collector, and I had a few items up for trade. And Brent contacted me, and we arranged a trade, and we met. It wasn't those.
Was he wearing those?
He was wearing them.
No, I was not wearing
which
those.
Didn't actually bother me as much as the fact that he didn't have pants on. But
but I had the garter belt. I had Paul Stanley's garter belt on from 77.
All right. Well, that's it for the first episode. I'm quitting.
That's fun.
That's a mental image.
Yeah, I'll even give you some Paul Stanley points.
But so we're going to trade some Kiss items. We got to talk, and we found out we were mutually both Night Ranger fans, and he was surprised that I knew as much as I did, and I was surprised he knew as much as he did, and we briefly talked about, you know, he actually brought the idea of a podcast, and I was a little hesitant on it, but we stayed in contact. We were friends on Facebook. Not much was really discussed after that, and then probably about the middle of maybe April, Brent had sent me, I don't know, a few things for some fan Night Ranger pages. And when that happened, I was like, you know, if I'm ever going to do something like that, this is the time to do it. So, and this is just like the fan page. So I created the group page, and the first person I invited was Brent. And basically, hey, let's do this. And if, you know, you want to tie that podcast to it, we'll tie the podcast to it. And we each took little parts to it. And then he's like, hey, I got this this guy I know named Andrew. And he'd be a good addition. So
he likes to talk.
What was the page called for 2 days when it first came up?
I think we called it a couple things.
Was there rumors in the air or something like that?
Rumors in the air, but I didn't really want to stick to a song title.
Rumor.
Just for the fact, you know, legal stuff and all that stuff, which, you know, I'm sure we would never been big enough to be on their radar.
Right.
And then, you know, a little play off of them doing the Dawn of Madness, I took the two words that they didn't use, which was, you know, Patrol and Midnight, and just Midnight Patrol. We used that for a couple of days, and then Brent came up with the Fans of Motions, and it's been like that since.
Yeah, that's awesome, Brent. And you guys got this thing started. But Brent and I are both big podcast fans, so we've been bouncing this around. Not a Night Ranger podcast, but a podcast idea. So I'm glad you guys brought me in on this, and fast becoming good friends with Josh, and laughing more than we should about things no one else knows about.
Well, they do. They just don't want to admit some of it.
Yeah.
You know.
And Brent, you've been hard at work designing a lot of the stuff that we see on the Fans in Motion page, right? You were the
I
one
have...
who kind of... really mastered the logo, right?
Well, I haven't mastered it. Every time I look at it, I find some kind of flaw I've got to fix. See, what everybody doesn't understand, it does look good for being in Paintbrush and right. using a mouse. I don't have any kind of graphics page. I just sit there and play with it and play with it and play with it. No puns, please. But no, seriously, like I have logos made for Andy and Josh. And I went back through and I realized that they weren't fat enough. So I made mine fatter, which took a couple hours. So I've got to go back through and redesign Josh's. I got to redo Andy's. But, you know, we should have logos. I saw somebody else online had one where it looked like they took it off and made it their own, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's cool.
I'll tell you.
Well, I want to say I love the fact, too, that you when you went with Fans in Motion – you took a, you know, not a really popular Night Ranger album title, but the Fans, us, that's a great album, and we'll talk about it later. I know we have a later episodes geared towards that, but that really I thought was a great idea.
Well, it
defines, because Dawn Patrol and Midnight Madness are so easy.
It defines everything though for the fans. That's why I was when I told Josh, and Josh was like, I don't know, I'm like, Josh, it has to be Fans of Motion, has to be.
Well, and you see, Josh, and you can probably attest to how quickly the page has grown, and that's the posts that we are getting. It really is. These fans they're great, and they're really engaging, and I love it. Look forward to every day jumping on Facebook and just seeing the pictures and the posts. So, you know,
it's definitely grown. As we are doing this right now, we are 10 people away from 500. And that's, you know, not bad for just being around for, I don't know, 6 weeks.
Yes, it's not long, is it?
You know, so not too bad. I mean, the only downside to creating this page and then doing this podcast is, you know, number one, doing the testing for the podcast and hearing your own voice and then realizing a webcam puts on about 30 pounds.
Yeah, I've got like 5 cameras on me. If you wonder why, I'm actually very skinny.
It makes me think that, you know, people are going to think that my work is paying me in, like, you know, pizza and pop and stuff or something.
What's funny?
He's drinking out of a little black blue. The black blue.
Paying me in little Debbie's. So
the more I look at my screen at Josh, I start to think Josh and I could actually maybe be brothers. I think we kind of look alike.
It could. What was the name of the milkman in your community?
Cliff
Board.
Cliff.
Miss Board. It's Borden.
I was going to say, Josh, it's a backhanded compliment to you. It means you're looking rather handsome if you look like me.
All right. Well, this just took another weird step.
All right, let's move on.
Well, at least I don't. At least I don't have Brent's dad. I don't look like.
I think that was my dad. Be like, so anyway, back on. Does anybody have any? You know, I know there's not a lot of new Night Ranger stuff out in the marketplace. Are there any new items you guys may have ordered or purchased? I know you guys are both vinyl guys, so I know Josh has got a big vinyl collection. Brent, I don't know what your collection is.
I
know you're a Kiss guy. Yeah, I can see that.
I have some Death Leopard background. I'd be willing to get rid of for Kiss, though.
Any new Night Ranger items you guys might have?
Josh, you want to be like to tell the truth? You want to see who's going to stand up first and do it? Or
I always got new Night Ranger stuff.
Yeah, so, you go first.
So this is... And eventually we'll probably get these pictures up in the podcast where if you're watching us on TV, when I put this up to the camera, there'll actually be a picture on the screen. But that's going to take a little bit more effort from me. And, you know, right now I'm just happy to get the recording button to actually work. So yeah. This is a VHS tape for a radio station in New York. So you can see a little bit of it there you go. May 30th, 1997. There's a marquee there. It was never for sale. There's no barcode on it. So anyways, it's a show at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Wang Chung, John Cicada are there. But anyways, Night Ranger there. I have not watched it yet, but it is probably a good...
You'll have to let us know if everybody had fun tonight there.
Bam, there it is.
If everybody did indeed Wang Chung.
Yes, I will. I will let everybody
Sorry,
know.
You never mentioned Wang Chung when you initially showed that to us the other day, and I couldn't hold back.
Well, that's low-hanging fruit.
I just wanted, you know, I wanted there to be something new for the show. So I was like, hey, I'll hold Wang Chung back.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I'm really glad you did.
But there's Neverland footage on here, I would assume. They may not be playing anything off the album, but it will be that era. So,
so Josh, can we assume is that a live performance of all those bands?
Yes,
at the Ed Sullivan Theater? Is that what that assume that is?
Yep, that's what it looks. So, superstar performers for the show, Graham, on Broadway include. So, you know, unless they're doing, you know,
songs
from Oklahoma or something. Brent, you want to go next?
You got anything?
Okay. Just coincidentally, and normally I wouldn't wait for you all because I cannot. I've been waiting for this package for over a week, and it's been sitting at the post office in the Cincinnati area. That's where I'm from. For 2 days, just sitting there. Came today. I had to go to a graduation party, so I figured since we were going to record tonight, I would open it.
So you're doing an unboxing.
I'm doing an unboxing. Yeah.
The big YouTube thing.
I bought these from the Night Ranger page. Here, let me get it up here. Again, no pun, please. We have...
Oh, nice. Vintage jersey.
Yeah, the Dawn Patrol, Dawn of Madness.
I have that shirt.
And most of you already know what the next one's going to be.
Midnight Mass.
Y'all see that? Is it right in the middle of the camera?
Kind of, yeah. That's awesome.
Do I look better now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that up.
Anyway, that's what I got.
That's very cool, man. I as you know, Brent, I was at one of the shows where they sold them shirts, and blew my mind when I walked in and saw a Dawn Patrol and Midnight Madness jersey hanging there. I was like, oh my God. Actually, I don't know did I call you, Brent, or did I message you about it?
You messaged me, and as soon as I saw it and noticed the logo had the old... Had the old stripes on the sides, you know, from the R. I couldn't believe they were that.
See, that's
spot
the
on.
Technical stuff that I would never see, and you guys probably would like saw it
instantly.
So, Josh, let me ask, and you, Brent, both can chime in on this. This is a for me personally. Where do you guys go particularly to find your Night Ranger treasures? Like, do you go to eBay, and then how do you know what's fake? I know I've asked you guys before, I've shown you things, and you're like, fake. Where do you scour? Just at record stores, or are there websites, or do you not want to give away your trade secret?
I'm not giving it away. No, it's
damn it.
It's basically, I mean, you got eBay. There's some other sites out there, but you know, record stores. I mean, I actually got two promo copy vinyl, Dawn Patrol, and Seven Wishes at a record store in Cincinnati up last year. I was up at the University of Cincinnati, right up there near. I can't remember where it was at, but it was in older building. But
there's a new shop down where McDonald's used to be and where Burgundy's.
That was where we used to hang out. That's where we saw Night Ranger on the Man of Motion tour.
This
there at Bogart's.
This was a little bit farther away from Bogart's, not much, but it wasn't right there.
Wasn't on mine.
I haven't been to the store, but I know what you're speaking about. There's a Target and everything down by there.
And then another thing I got, and I'm not too much, I don't have much knowledge on it. I think it may be German. It's Belly Music is the label, but it is the cover's not much different.
Okay.
It's feeding off the mojo, but the inside is, it doesn't have the big booklet. It's just the song tracks. And the disc doesn't have the graphics on it.
Okay.
But it's, like I said, it's Belly Records. I'm not sure when exactly it was released. I got to do a little bit more. But what's different about it is this CD came in a clear case. And it has a design that was never on the Japanese...
The tray?
Yeah, in the tray. So it's feeding off the mojo, and it's got kind of Brad in the middle. And it's kind of got that warped look.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I've ever seen that pic, you know, that setup on feeding off the mojo. And then the other thing I got, which most people wouldn't care about, is Sing Me Away 45 with the side one in small font. Most of the time, side one is in large font.
That is something I'm sure not many of us knew.
So, yeah, just a variation on the label. And there's tons of those, and we'll get into those. I've put a picture up, I don't know, a few weeks ago, of Seven Wishes, just all of them on my shelf. And I, you know, made the comment that, I don't know, there's maybe 20 there. All of them are different. They're all from different countries. Probably half of them are from the U.S., but they are, there's different variations. Basically, make a long story short, MCA had two factories that pressed albums. And you can go to the Dead Wax, and they got little etches in there. You can tell which one. And basically, one factory would kind of make a label one way, and the other factory would make a label, you know, another way. And sometimes the factory would make two different labels. So you would have, you know, so you got different variations. You know, you could have hold up three different albums that all look the same, but when you dig a little bit deeper, they're all different.
Awesome. Brent, you got any secrets on how you find your stuff?
Just look.
Yeah, just scour the... I mean, the internet's opened it up for you guys. I mean, Brent, you were... I remember going to flea markets and record stores with Brent back when the internet didn't exist. And, you know, Brent, he just knew, like, this is an import. This is hard to find. These are easy. You can find these anywhere, you know. And
that was back before we had internet.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you just...
I was learning as I went, you know. And then, God, when I found out about record shows, I just died.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing.
College campuses, that was the good place to go. You know, I'd go to Ohio State University, you know, their campus, and you had places like Used Kids Records. You had places like Magnolia Thunder Pussy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, Singing Dog.
Singing Dog.
Singing Dog still there?
No.
I was at Used Kids last year on Record Store Day.
Yeah. So all those places, you know, and especially Magnolia's, Magnolia's would carry bootlegs. So you had your shops and stuff, and then, yes, you had...
Yeah, I got my Wicked Lester from there.
Yep. And back then, in, you know, 1994, you know, a bootleg CD that would contain, you know, 10 live tracks that, you know, that would be like $30, you know, $1994. And it's just something that if it was on YouTube right now, you could go play it. but you probably wouldn't listen to it because it's horrible quality. But back then, that was your only chance to.
Yep.
And it was wonderful.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. It was wonderful.
Yep. So, yeah, you know, a lot's changed. The internet's opened up the world to, you know, to collectors, and you're able to find cool stuff. And, you know, it's definitely.
Well, and one thing I getting back to the Fans in Motion page, the neat thing is we're connecting with people all over the world. You know, we have people from Japan, and I think we've got somebody from, is it Sweden or Norway, somewhere over there?
Sweden.
And I apologize if I didn't nail the country right.
Yeah, we got a few from Sweden.
And
yeah,
I think that's,
he's a KISS fan, I know that.
That's another great thing about this and the connections that you can make, and you can trade and like, hey, can you help me find this? And just, I love it. I mean, I love everything about this. And
everybody is worth their weight in salt on this page. It's incredible. But I'm going to tell you, the Japanese fans have just blown me away.
Yeah.
I know we discussed this once prior, but when I had seen that they came and went and found the satellite dishes in
New Mexico,
Arizona, New Mexico. I don't even know where they are. I live here. I don't even know where they are. And then they went and found that truck stop with the dinosaurs from the Sing Me Away video. And
it's amazing. You think you're a fan.
I think his name is like, Yasui Uki, if I'm pronouncing that properly.
Yeah, we'll have to get those names
he
right.
Is,
so we can
I mean, him credit. And all of his friends, I mean, God, you guys are just awesome. And I love when Night Ranger goes over there and they will pose with a crowd of like 60 people behind them. Yeah. And I know those fans mean the world to those guys. They have to, because they welcome them every time they come back to that country. It's just great
that's
job.
That's another thing we could get into later, Josh, as a topic, is their popularity in Japan is amazing. Like, they got to be treated like royalty over there. They're so popular.
Well, that was the catalyst to get them back together in 1996, was they were offered, you know, a good amount of money, you know, to reform.
Yeah.
And go to Japan. And even, you know, early on, you know, you have the 83. I mean, what's great about the band also is we do have good documentation of the classic era. You have 83 Midnight Madness. You have the Seven Wishes Tour. You have Japan in Motion. So you have professionally filmed, you know, videos. Two out of the three filmed in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So,
love it. Well, so speaking of the fans, we're all fans. Why don't we tell our stories about how we became Night Ranger fans and how we get to really embrace, in our opinions, one of the greatest bands out there. We'll start with me and Brent, I would say, because Brent and I actually are longtime friends, and we've known each other since, what, Brent, 81-ish?
Yeah, 81-ish, seventh grade.
Yeah, and so I'll start the story, but Brent, I want you to tell it most of it because you've got such a better memory of my life than I do.
That's true.
Brent and I met because of KISS. KISS is the catalyst of everything probably in our lives. And we were in 81, we would have been 11 years old, 82, 12, you know, we'd wanted to see KISS.
I was a year older than you.
Yeah.
So
Brent's dad was never going to take us to see KISS. I don't think Claude would have ever done that.
Well,
and we were too young to go. We finally wore my father down to take us to see KISS in 1983, the Creatures of the Night tour. And there was this band opening up that I didn't know who they were, but I'll hand this off to my boy Brent to tell the story.
Yeah.
of a night that changed two little kids' lives in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, I was hanging out with an 11-year-old. Can you believe that? Anyway,
yeah.
No, I was 13 when we were at the show. So,
it was January 9th, right, 1983.
Yeah, I had just gotten MTV, but a local radio station here, WEBN. Which is there's a famous bootleg floating around from that era from,
yes,
WEBN. They were playing the heck out of "Don't Tell Me You Love Me," and I loved the song. Well, of course, when I saw the video, I loved the video, and So I just thought they were really, really great. Now, then the Sing Me, when the Sing Me Away video came out, I saw it on, I was eating breakfast, getting ready to get on the school bus in the morning. I'll never forget it. I got to Andy and told Andy, I just saw the new Night Ranger video. I had only seen that video in pieces two or three times after that. MTV never ran that
right,
video
they never
back
played
in the day.
It much.
And it just drove me crazy. So they stuck with Don't Tell Me You Love Me, but they didn't do anything else. And that's probably for another show. But in any event, I found out Kiss was coming to Dayton, Ohio. Dayton is about an hour road trip from Cincinnati. And when I found out that Ace Frehley wasn't going to be there, that a guy named Vinnie Vincent was playing, Andy kept telling me I was crazy.
I did not believe you that Ace wasn't going to be there.
And I'm like, Andy, it's a guy named Vinnie Vincent. Ace got in a car accident. He didn't. He had already quit the band, but they told everybody. And I don't know how I found out. I think I saw it on MTV, a little news clipping, which I can't believe they discussed the band Kiss.
Right.
But anyway, long story short, found out that Night Ranger was opening. The minute I found out Night Ranger was opening, I was at my grandparents' house spending the night. My grandma and grandpa always gave me a few, whatever change they had. So I'd saved it up. I walked down to this store called Rec Theater.
Yeah, Surrey Square.
Yeah. And I bought the album just because I wanted to make sure I knew every song that they were going to play. Plus, I liked them already. Well, so I made Andy, I told Andy, I said, you've got to listen to Night Ranger. You got to listen to Night Ranger. I made him a cassette off my vinyl, my LP. And I don't know how much he liked them going into the show, but all I know is when they came on stage and Kelly Keggy's drum set was to the right, we couldn't figure out why. We figured because Kiss had this big stage, look it up, 1983 Creature Store, that's a tank. So Eric Carr's drum set would sit on this big tank turret, and it had the gun.
Yeah, the cannon, the barrel cannon, of the gun.
You know, sticking out. So therefore, we just assumed they couldn't put a drum set back there because it was so big and in the way. Then we, you know, start seeing all the other stuff that he really sits to the side, and we couldn't figure out why. But I loved it. I think that's one of the greatest setups on the stage ever because Andy and I both play drums. And when you play a small little place, you get no love because the singer is always dead in front of you and nobody can see you. Nobody can see you at all. So you can pick your nose, you can pick your butt, you can do whatever you want. As long as you stay in beat, nobody's going to see it.
True.
So that was how our love for Night Ranger began. Like I said, it was the music first and then actually getting to see that rare. They were only on tour with Kiss for a week and a half, I think.
Was that all it was?
So we were very lucky to see them. And there's been some other people on the page that have commented they saw Kiss, and I had found that one ticket that from Ticketron. They had Kiss with Night Ranger. Yep. Ours doesn't show that. So that was it. And Andy and I have seen basically every tour. Andy's been, I think, to more shows than I have. But we...
Yeah.
You know, as we discuss through the next podcast and, you know, in the next episode after that, you know, we've been to all the major album tours. So
yes. Yeah, and I'll say, let me piggyback on that, Brent. I mean, Kiss was the main reason we went to that show. But, man, we walked out of that arena. And for a shocker of all shockers, Brent and I were not the coolest kids in the Amelia Junior High at the time. But – man, we thought we were the coolest kids because we knew Kiss. We saw Kiss in makeup, and then the final makeup tour for a long time. But then we discovered Night Ranger, and this band became so important to me and Brent. And then every tour after, every album after, I mean, and, you know, Josh, you'll know this, and all you fans that are watching this, you know the albums are just so good. I mean, Midnight Madness and Seven Wishes and Big Life, and we were there. And we'll speak of this later, Brent. But you'll have to tell the story of camping out to get front row for Night Ranger at Riverbend when we didn't really need to, apparently, but we did. So, but that was it. We love them, and we've been friends and still best friends ever since. But, Josh, you're a little bit younger than Brent and I, so tell us what happened.
I'm 51 now. Andy,
I'm 50.
Josh?
I will be 43 in a little bit over a month.
So our timeline's off. So that's what's going to be so fun about this show as well.
So I was 7 years old in 1984, and I'm going to assume it was early 1984. It could have been 83, possibly, but I've always been into music. 1980, I guess I was really into Billy Joel Glass Houses. My there's a story like when my stepdad,
who wasn't though,
when my
great album,
I remember I was 3 years old. My stepdad, who wasn't my stepdad at the time, was watching me, and I kept asking for Bojo. And he's like, what the hell's Bojo? You know, I was crying. I wanted Bojo. And it turned out it was my Billy Joel album. You know, I wanted to go put it on my Fisher Price record. Anyway, so I was always into music. So, and I still remember watching MTV kind of when it first came out. You know, I had an aunt and her friend who are 10 years older than me. So if I was four, you know, they're 14. So I still remember MTV being on and watching the Bugles. Or the bug,
whatever.
I don't think it was obviously the first time that, you know, that it played, but
the Bugles was the commercial run. Yeah.
So what, but I remember that being in rotation. All right.
Yes.
So that had to be pretty early on. So I just remember that, like I said, I was probably 7 years old and my aunt came out of her room and she's like, hey, there's this band I want you to listen to. And I'm probably playing Atari or, you know, something. And I was like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm busy. Leave me alone. I'll listen.
You got a bad game of Pong going on. You can't stop that.
So the next day, you know, she's either at school or, you know, it was a weekend or something. I went back in her room and I found those two albums. It was Dawn Patrol and Midnight Madness. And I put them in, and I was like, whatever, 8-year-old, 7-year-old says.
Guacamole.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what's Cowabunga. This? There's all these guitars and stuff, you know, and this ain't Kaja Goo Goo and all this garbage that's on MTV. And
I like the Kaja Goo Goo.
And so that's what attracted me to it was, you know, the fact that there's these guitars on there really loud. And, you know, and that was the first time I really was introduced to something like that, even though there's other stuff out there, but that was the band she introduced me to, and I liked the music. And
there was nothing like Night Ranger out there. There's dual guitar, melodic solos. I mean,
well, I one of the very first, another video I liked, and I just remember my aunt not liking it, me going, I like it, was Rat Wanted Man. You know, that was pretty early on. You know, plus as a 7-year old, you know, they're in, you know, they're cowboys and all that stuff. So it was kind of cool. But, so, you know, in the Christmas of 84, I was 7 years old and I got, all my aunts bought me two records. You know, I got Night Ranger Dawn Patrol. I got Night Ranger, Midnight Madness and the Cars, Heartbreak City and Survivor, Vital Signs, Van Halen 84, REO Speedwagon, Wheels Return, all the good stuff.
That's a mullet starter pack.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then in the summer of 85, Night Ranger was playing the Ohio State Fair, you know, which was a big deal because back then they had the grandstand. And
we went.
Yep. And so it was general admission. My grandma took me, got me a shirt, tour program, necklace, and...
Oh, man.
We got there at 4 o'clock. The show didn't start, I don't think, till 8. And she got me there at 4 o'clock. So I'm 8 years, I just turned 8. I was, you know, not very much past 8. We sat there for 4 hours, which seemed like an eternity, for an 8-year-old. And Night Ranger came on. I got to see them on their Seven Wishes tour.
Oh, man, that's great.
And for my 10th birthday, I got the, you know, I got Night Ranger Big Life when it came out. And I found Man in Motion, you know, out at the store one day. And so, you know, but being younger, I wasn't able to go, you know, follow them on tour and go to record stores and stuff like that. It was just whatever was at the department store. And then I got to see, you know, the Night Ranger era in the 90s and 93. And then on my own, I was able to go see them in 95 a few times. And that's where I really got to know, I won't say to know the guys, but... I mean, I got spent a lot of time, you know, talking to him before shows and after shows. This is before the age of meet and greets. In 95 and 96, when they were back with the original members, and the 97 show at the Newport, I got to meet them a lot and talk to them all and ask them real deep questions and stuff. And but yeah, that's basically how I got into Night Ranger. Was my my 14-year-old aunt and her friend, and they liked them, and I, you know, as a kid, that's just what I gravitated to, and I've just, and what's really made me stick with them is, I like the music, and I like their, you know, the albums and stuff, but really just live shows, you know, you just go, and you know you're going to have fun, and, you know, that's what really has made me stick with them.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've taken a few people that aren't, they're, you know, passerby fans, you know, they know the Sister Christians and the When You Close Your Eyes, and taking them to shows, and they've walked away going, man, they sound amazing. Even today in 2020, these guys are in their 60s. Jack still has the energy. Brad doesn't look like he's aged, and they sound so good, and they've sounded this good for 30 plus years, almost 40 years. So
yeah, Jack's still got the kicking going on, the little dancing, and it's fantastic. And what they're doing now with the little drum solo when they all participate, I have not seen them personally do that. It's
awesome.
Just, it looks great.
My one friend I took, Abe, I took him to the Sweetwater show, and he caught a drumstick from that little drum solo thing. Josh, I wanted to jump at you here real quick. It's interesting that you, at seven, Night Ranger was kind of your, you hit that your stride with them. For me, I hit my stride at seven with Kiss. That was the first band that I really, you know, you're talking 1977, and I had, and I don't want to get off on a tangent on Kiss, but it's interesting that at seven, you locked on to Night Ranger, and that kind of became one of your bands, and mine was Kiss, but at the same age. Prior to seven, and the only music I really knew was what my parents played, Janis Joplin, the Beach Boys. I didn't know music. Of course, oddly enough, I did know Billy Joel, and I did have Glass Houses, which is a great album. But seven, and Brandon, I don't know what year it was, how old you were when you first just grabbed onto something, but Kiss was mine, it was my own. Yeah. And at seven, I remember walking into my living room holding a Kiss album, telling my parents that I don't know what this is, but I want to do this the rest of my life. And there was a lot of like, oh my God, he's going to want to wear makeup and heels. And
he does.
I do, but not like Kiss does. But that's a different story. But Brett, how old were you? Do you remember when you, not necessarily
Let's
Night
see.
Ranger, but when? How old were you when music, you took hold of music?
I discovered Kiss during Destroyer.
So what, 70?
That was 75, right?
And then my chronology?
Six, I'm sorry. See, I'm,
see.
God, I
nerds.
Also, like, yeah. In any event, I remember seeing the I saw the Paul and Halloween special.
Which, by the way, Josh, we could do an entire podcast on Destroyer if you ever want to venture off the topic.
It's not their best album.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's their best album. It's not their best album.
Go ahead, Brent.
In any event, that was the first time I'd ever seen Kiss move. And I remember we were eating at the dinner table, and I was the youngest. So my back was always to the TV.
Same as me. It was punishment.
It sucked. My sister sat to my right, my mom sat to my left, and my dad was right at 12 o'clock. I was 6 o'clock. And Kiss came on, and I'm doing this, and my dad's like, look at that shit. You know, you don't like that, do you? And I'm like,
yeah.
No. You know, I was afraid of him.
Yeah.
And I'm dying because he's putting down these, you know, and I never, Gene Simmons, but, oh my God, Ace Frehley. I mean, it was amazing. So
about
at that
6
point,
years old, 7 years old.
So
oh,
he, 8 years
he
old.
Froze up for a minute there.
I was 8 years old.
Yeah, so about the same age.
So at that point, I knew that I wasn't allowed to have them. So a kid down the street had all the albums, and I take my little tape recorder in with the 5 buttons on it, record, play, rewind, fast forward, and stop and eject. How many buttons is that? And we'd go in his bedroom, we'd put the needle on the record, hit record, and you'd hear our footsteps on the cassette tape trying to sneak out and the door shut. And he'd have a speaker in the window, so we knew when it was going to end. We'd go in there and we'd flip the record over, press pause. So I was secretly having these. I was bootlegging Kiss when I was a kid. Until then, but Kiss was my gateway drug, definitely.
Mine too.
And they're still my everything. But right around that early teenage years, when I discovered Night Ranger, I'd already been listening to the AC/DC before that, and I had Billy Joel Glass Houses as well. I bought it at the Gold Circle. I'll never forget it.
Great album. It's a great album. End of the day.
Off Elena. I used to love that song as a kid.
So that's awesome. So we're all, again, I'd be curious to see everybody else the same age where they really kind of start taking ownership of their own music. So I like that. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, if you want to get ownership of your own music, you know, when I was, I don't know, two or three, I was, you know, the Jungle Book, I Want to Be Like You. That was, I remember, hey, that was my 45, you know. You know, so luckily
I had Elvis.
Yeah, I like Elvis too, but luckily, you know, I discovered Night Ranger, or we would be doing a Jungle Book, you know, Jungle Book podcast.
So have you since gone back and thanked your aunt for
I mean, we've you know,
started you on a path that you never looked back from?
She was one of the first I invited to the page, and her friend who, you know, was there.
So
well.
She's our age then.
Yeah, she would be. She's probably born in 67.
Yeah.
So when we were at the Ohio State Fair and you were behind us, we might have been checking her out.
Well, probably.
You know, we could have been.
She was up near Kelly Kagi. That's, and I got some,
oh you.
I got some.
We were on the opposite. We were on Jeff's side.
I got some photos from that show. I'll have to post to the page someday. They're not.
So Brent, let me ask: do you remember what was the show where one of us, I don't remember, you probably do, were tossing Frisbee back to Brad, I believe it was. That show, wasn't it?
That was the Ohio State Fair, yes.
We were just having to be walking around the infield where they were, their backstage area.
Yeah. You know, they were on the
We weren't in the infield. We were just walking by the fence.
But it was on the racetrack. Is that correct, Josh? Josh, is that what that was?
Yeah, it was
in the grandstands and what have you.
You had the stage. Again,
the dirt track.
You know, I was only there once, but the way I kind of remember is you had the stage, kind of in the center, and then
it was people, all dirt.
You had people in the infield, maybe a little bit. Then you had people on the dirt, and then you had the grandstand in the back.
Yeah, well, we were walking around looking at the tour bus, and somehow we got in that area. Because I remember Joey knocking on the window and Kelly Kagi looking out the window and shutting the curtain on him. That was us, Kelly.
But anyway, they were tossing Frisbee, and one of them got away from them, and one of us, me or Brent, I don't recall, Brent, you probably do, picked it up and tossed it back to him. And I'm like, holy crap, that's Brad Gillis.
Yeah, so. I played Frisbee with Brad Gillis.
So is anything else we want to add to this, or we want to move on to the next phase of this, the next chapter of this podcast?
Well, I mean, that's a good introduction. I mean, you know, by now there's probably no one listening, so we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, these will go on for however long we want them to go.
Let's talk about Butch Walker then.
The goal, yeah, he's got his Butch Walker.
Well, Josh, so real quick, so do you want to if anyone's still listening, do you want to lay out some of the rules and what you want of the page and what you'll expect and how you're going to post? Talk about how, you know, we may be sending you a lot of posts, but they don't get released immediately.
Yeah, so, I mean, so with the – so when people post stuff
– I need to step away for a second. I'm going to sneeze. Go ahead.
Let's watch him.
Go ahead,
we want to watch you. Go ahead.
I want to watch
you. Come on.
Go ahead.
Come on there, professional.
Yeah, do it.
Come on.
It's he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it.
Yeah.
It's not like we can't edit this out, you know?
I don't know how to do that yet. So it's not going to be edited. That's a hell of a sneeze.
I didn't even hear it.
No, I just know he's gone. I mean, who the hell takes a 20-second sneeze?
I think it was a sneeze from the other end he got up and left. See, he's not going to know that until he watches us again.
So anyway, so I'll go on with some stuff about the page. So yeah, so I approve every post, and I generally do I mean, I, you know, for them to be posted, I have to approve them, and I generally approve almost everyone. A few things: if you post something, it may not be approved right away. I don't like to release everything at once, so every half hour, 45 minutes. If it's a slow day, I might release something every hour. That way it's just, you know, a steady flow of stuff coming out. Sometimes people post stuff and they're sharing a photo that is in a private folder. So when you go to send it and post it on the page, it comes up just as, hey, this can't be seen. I'm just starting to approve them and putting them on there just for the fact that I'm getting tired of messaging people and telling them the same thing. Eventually, I'll probably just start deleting them, and people are just going to have to figure that out, because no one wants to get an alert for something and then go to it and it's just something they can't see. So just make sure if you're sharing something that you're not sharing it from a private folder to a public page, because it won't show up. Save the photo to your phone and then post it directly onto the page. It's probably the best way. So, you know, like I said, just if you post something, just give it time. It'll show up on the page. And as for rules and stuff, I don't have a lot of rules. I mean, the biggest one is don't be an asshole. You know, just, you know, treat people. Don't type stuff on there that you wouldn't say to someone's face. That's probably the easiest thing. And, you know, the page is for every era, every lineup, you know, every member. So if someone's posting about whichever member and you don't like that, you know, you don't like that era, that member, or that album, you know, we don't need to know it. You know, it's
move on. Yeah, move on. I don't waste my time and energy arguing with someone on the internet. It's just like, okay, we disagree, or I don't agree with what you said, or I'm not a fan of whomever, but who cares? Just move on.
The one thing I don't want it to turn into is, you know, for all you non-KISS fans, Facebook has turned KISS fans against KISS fans. It's ridiculous. Oh, I'm a real fan because I was there at the beginning. It's no different with this. Night Ranger's got enough years behind them to where we can have people that just came on a month ago. And we have younger fans already, and they're in the great.
All the eras have great music. There's no reason to knock Gary Moon's era.
But they never saw the original lineup, Andy. They don't know what they're missing. Give me a break.
It's like, you know, we saw the I don't know, the Moon Ranger concert. It was great. I mean, it just, there's no reason for it.
Well, and it's not just that era, too. I mean, you got...
Or Jeff Watson, you know, if you don't like...
Jeff Watson versus, you know, or, you know, Joel or Carey or any of that.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said...
There's no need for it.
You know, it's 2020, and we still have Night Ranger. I mean, who would have thought...
We're lucky.
You know, I mean, who would think at, you know, 42 years old... I remember getting Metal Edge, you know, old rock magazine, right? And they would have birthdays, you know, in it. I'm probably, you know, 14, 15 at the time. And I remember seeing that Brad Gillis was 39. And I'm like, what the fuck? I got, you know, what's he going to do, you know, in 6 years?
How much more time left?
Yeah, you know, and... So that's just how I look at it. It's 2020. We have, you know, Night Ranger... We're lucky that the last 10 years have been as great as they've been. We've gotten a lot of studio albums, a lot of live albums, you know, acoustic albums.
And shows.
Great concert tours. So, and we got a lot of stuff in the back catalog. You know, I mean, we're lucky that we got 5 studio albums from the classic era. And we got, you know, Mojo and 7, Neverland. And, you know, we got all that stuff that, you know, can, you know, just... you know, keep you busy just listening.
We got Don't Let Up. I mean,
we got the 3, you know, new studio albums.
Oh, so. Incredible.
And, dude, give me Comfort Me any day of the week. What a great song.
And we got Hole in the Sun, so.
Hey, real quick, before I forget, I just popped in my head, we were talking about all the different eras. Did anybody see the short run of Reb Beach?
Well, there was an era before that.
Did you see?
Who was the guitarist before that? I don't even know the guy.
Brent, did we see Reb in Brooksville, Indiana, or was that Joel?
I never saw Reb Beach.
Okay. I
didn't even want to see
him. Where'd you see Reb at?
I saw Reb.
I like Reb. I think Reb's a great guitarist.
Well, I like Reb. I just didn't want to see Winger.
Oh.
Well, who was you saying, though, was before Reb?
There was another guitar player, wasn't there, right before Reb?
I don't think so.
I thought Reb came in right after.
No, I thought there was somebody that was there for like a month.
See, that's why.
This is why I'm not. This is why Reb, I'm not an expert.
Reb was just a very short.
Or was
window,
it a keyboardist? Was there a keyboardist that was right before Christian?
That I don't remember either. I mean, I don't.
There's somebody that was in there just very briefly.
Well, I mean, Michael Lardy was there.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Lardy was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Man of Motion.
No, that was Jesse Bradman.
No, Jesse Bradman.
Michael Lardy was there from like 2000 into 2003, going into probably a little bit into late 06.
And we never saw Michael Lardy play with them either, Andy.
I
saw Night Ranger in 2004. And that would have been the original lineup minus Fitz with Michael Lardy. And then I saw them in September of 2007 in Nashville, and that was with Reb Beach and Christian Matthew Kulin. It was with those two guys. And there's actually a funny story. I was very intoxicated at that show. And
with some Labatt's?
No Labatt that time. It was probably a truckload of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Their stock went up that week.
Classy.
But
Milwaukee's best.
I like Milwaukee's best, too. Anyway, so we go to the meet and greet. And like I said, me and my buddy are pretty damn hammered. And we're the last ones in line. And I showed him my Night Ranger Seven Wishes tattoo. And they were all awesome and taking pictures and stuff. So if you've ever been to the Wild Horse Saloon in
Nashville, I know where it's at.
It's got three levels. All right? Mm-hmm. So at this time, we had talked to the band. We were last in line. We talked to them a little bit longer because I had the tattoo, and they were all, you know, we just bullshitted with them. So the people working there had left, or the, like, you know, kind of guiding people through the meet and greet. So me and my, you know, they're like, okay, we got to, you know, go do stuff. I'm like, all right. So we start to leave. We don't know where the hell we're going. You know, we're upstairs, you know, on the third floor looking around, and I'm just kind of, you know, leading my buddy, and I kind of look at this elevator, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm thinking in my head, I guess we'll, I don't know if we're on the third floor or the first floor in a basement. I don't know anything, you know, at that point. So I'm like, well, we'll just go here, and I get in, and I look, and Reb Beach has followed us, and he's like,
man.
And he's about ready to get in, and he's like, where are we going? And I'm like, I don't know where we're going. I was like, I'm going to hit floor number one and see if that's where I need to go. He's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be following you? I'm like, all I can think is I am the last person right now. You should.
So this is Reb asking
Reb
you where we're going?
I didn't know he had followed us out. You know, I don't know.
He just got out of the boiler room is what happened.
You know, and.
Hello, Cleveland.
So, and you know what? He wasn't in the in one of my group picks with the band. So maybe he had come in late and, you know, hadn't really seen, you know, the fact that I was probably pretty intoxicated and just seen us leaving the band thinking that, you know, we had, I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know why in the hell. Shouldn't follow me sober, let alone in Nashville intoxicated. But, yeah, I just remember Reb, you don't know, where are you taking me or whatever he said. And I'm just like, all right, am I that drunk? Is Reb asking me this question? But yeah, that was September of 07. That was
that's great.
That
man.
Was
amazing.
That was Reb Beach and Matthew on keyboards, and that would also have been about, you know, the same time that the live album from Japan was released with Reb on it.
Yeah, that's great. That. Love it.
And they were Shibuya. They were playing stuff off A Hole in the Sun.
That would have shows up
at that show. They played at least one track. You're going to hear from me, I think, is the track they played.
Yeah. Yeah, we all heard right. That when we were in somewhere in Indiana on that city street. And that
Brooksville.
Little, what's that, Brooksville?
That was great, man.
That's what they opened
like
with on
street
that.
Festival. Did you go to that, Josh?
No.
And that would have been Joel, because I remember we saw him. And we're all Joel. Like, who is that guy? Like, he's phenomenal. And I thought we were going to see Reb, so here's what I know.
I remember when Joel joined Night Ranger, I had him as a friend on MySpace. And
easy cool guy.
And I sent him a message congratulating him, you know, for joining the band. And he actually, you know, of course, you know, this is his career just getting started. This is for everything. You know, he wrote a big long message. See, I might have been the first one to congratulate him. I don't know. But, you know, he was definitely like, hey, thanks, man. I hope I do a good job and I want to learn all Jeff's parts. And, you know, I should have printed it off. I mean, I may have it somewhere in the.
You can still, your account's still active.
No,
I've been getting.
It was like going on MySpace. I logged in on it, you know, years after. It was like going through like a bad neighborhood in Detroit. You know, it's
yeah.
Like, you know, I think I'm just going to delete this thing. But I tell you what, I like MySpace a lot for the fact that I found a lot of good music on there.
Yep.
And
I did too.
You learned a lot about people because people would go in there and they would design their pages. And, you know, it was just mm-hmm. cool to go, you know, people wrote blogs. It wasn't just memes and garbage and stuff. So
I. Arguing.
Yeah. So I liked MySpace, but that's another.
Well, there was arguing. If you know, if you arrange people in a certain order, and people, I never got a tiff because I wasn't your number one person.
You know what?
Yeah, I remember that.
You could get a little code to put in your whatever thing, and you could make a top 20 or a top 30. I liked the top 8 because it let me know. It was like college football rankings. Like I knew, like if I was in this girl's top 8. And then all of a sudden I wasn't. I'm like, I fucked up. So I had to go through and think, you know, what did I do? If I was in some girl's top 8 all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, now I got a chance here.
Yeah.
You know, let me bring over a six pack.
Got a chance at a maybe.
Yeah. So you knew where you stood, you know, with the top 8. That's what I liked.
So do we have anything else? We want to kind of wrap this one up. You want to tease the next episode or?
Well, let's do a few things. Let's do, you know, for anybody that's still listening, you know, throw out some suggestions of what you would like a topic to be. We are going to obviously cover every album. We're going to cover different subjects, live shows. We are going to cover, you know, the releases. You know, okay, how was Seven Wishes released? Here's, you know, cassette, vinyl, in the different variations. You know, we'll do scenarios of, you know, top 3 songs off each album. We're going to do all kinds of, you know, cool stuff and get the fan, you know, get everybody on the page involved. But, you know, go on there and, you know, make some comments of what topics you think would be cool to discuss, or maybe some stuff that you have an interest in knowing that you can't find out. I've had a few people, you know, message me and, you know, a good topic is, or something they would ask is, why did Fitz actually leave the band? You know, there's a little bit of a complex answer to that. So go in there and make a comment, you know, if you got suggestions of what you would like to hear. If you have watched all of this video, you know, tell us what you liked, which probably won't take much typing, but tell us what you didn't like. You know, if we need to blacken out Brent's screen. I mean, it's something that we can look at.
Hey, I don't second that.
You know,
poor Brent.
You know, here I don't have it, but anyways, but yeah. So
you know, I do accept sympathy gifts for the two I got to put up with. I mean,
he does have to put up with a lot of crap from us.
Yeah, I actually do.
Hey, should we black out Brent's face? Elvis,
thank you very much.
Elvis says yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the first time you made that shaking motion, is it? Ha ha ha. Anyway,
wow, I'm getting out of this one.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah,
I went
it's okay. There.
It was like somebody, when I asked the other day, if you were handed 7 wishes, would you, you know, what would you wish for? And somebody, the lady had typed, would you hold on tight to what you have? And I went, I'm not even going to answer that.
Yeah.
that's just too dangerous. I can't answer that question.
Yeah,
but
no, I would. I'm sorry.
No, go
ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I wanted to add that. Yeah, tell us what you like. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, let me jump in real quick. But this podcast is for the fans.
Yeah.
So please tell us. We'll talk about. We'll talk. Don't trust me. We have no problem talking.
I mean, we have so many ideas that we're not going to share with you right now. So many different things going on. I mean, I think it'd be great to eventually get a fan on one of these things and ask them some questions. You know, I don't know how that'll work, but it's not out of the question. I don't think we can. That's when we can black me out. But what I would request of you is share the page. You know, get it out there as much as you can, because this has been. I mean, we're going through the COVID thing right now, and I think that's one reason. I think it's been a great.
Distraction.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got something to go to. I know Emily. Emily's very active on the page. Mm-hmm. She, I know she loves it. And everybody probably knows Emily by now, because Emily will. She likes everybody's comments and everything. I mean, she's. I mean, that's how I know her name, because of how active she's been. But, you know, share it. You know, get the fans out there. But like I said, the COVID thing's really, I think, helped make this page hop recently, because people have something else to do. Okay, sorry, I was just really rambling. I almost lost what I was thinking, so I'll do that from time to time.
That's all right, man. Again, it's,
is he still talking? I just don't know. Back in.
I think he muted me.
The good thing is like, you just to piggyback on you there, Brent, is, you know, we're just fans, just like everybody else, and you know, we got all kinds of stuff we want to talk about, but there's almost 500 other fans out there on this page. You got something to say. You got a story to tell. Share it with us, or give us an idea. Because you've got a topic we haven't thought of. I mean, I have my top 50, 60 Night Ranger songs whenever you guys want to hear them.
I've already got my songs ranked out in
Brent's
order.
Got his broken down by Kelly songs, Jack songs.
I've got the file right here.
And we were doing this for fun. We weren't doing this for any reason except just to argue with each other.
Back when you and I were talking about 2 years ago, when we started playing around with podcasting, we were coming up with all these ideas, and I went ahead that Monday morning, and I got the discography out, went through everything, did Broken Down by Jack and Kelly, and then put them in the order the way I liked them. So. And we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what's coming on that.
And Andy, you said earlier in the podcast that maybe we were Night Ranger experts. I prefer more historian. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we don't know. I just found a little piece of the puzzle of some timeline stuff just the other day. Someone posted on Brad's site, so I'm still learning. So. And it's just our opinions a lot of times. I mean, there is some fact, but, you know, a lot of times it's going to be our opinions. And, you know, if you listen and you don't agree with something, I mean, you know, you can put a comment on there. Just be respectful and, you know, just say, well, you know, I think it was more like this. And, you know, we can, you know, discuss. And
stuff. Like it's a fact, Josh, that Neverland is one of the best albums they've ever made.
That's a fact that there are two albums in the 90s that are better. Than Neverland. I like Neverland though, but I like Seven.
This is where Josh's opinion would be wrong. No, I'm kidding.
No, he's not.
Anyway,
I agree with him.
But so hopefully, if you're still listening at this point and watch this point, you know, jump on the page. You can private message Josh and Brent with ideas. And again,
don't private message me.
Yeah, Josh has nothing else to do at this time.
No,
but.
Funny is with every comment, and I figured out a way to filter some of it out, I'll turn Facebook on, and my Facebook's exploded with, you've got 38. I'm like, oh, my God. People are driving me crazy.
That's good crazy.
In a good way.
So
just joking.
What I would say is, you know, with us getting ready to end this, is we're going to cover all the albums. We're going to talk about all the good stuff. This episode will be the worst episode because it was about us three. Next week, you know, you want to tell them, Andy, what we're going to focus on the next episode?
Well, I believe we're going to move into the origins of Night Ranger and the release of Dawn Patrol.
Yes.
And we'll start from the beginning and work our way through the albums. And we're going to talk about tours and different eras and different members of and lineup changes, and it's you know, we've been doing some pre-production stuff before this episode, and it's exciting to see hear the stories. You know, I said earlier that you guys were experts. To me, you're experts, but you're right, you're more historians. You guys have more knowledge about factual stuff than I do. I'm just such a Geek Boy fan, you know. I think I told you earlier in a conversation, Josh, that I never get tired of going to see the same set list. Would I like a different set list? Absolutely. But I don't ever tire of hearing Eddie's coming out tonight and Don't Tell Me You Love Me. And I'm just a fan. I just love it. I love watching Brad's faces when he's playing the guitar. It's just the greatest thing. So, but yeah, looking forward to where we're heading with this. I cannot wait to discuss the albums, because I know Brent and I have had many conversations about all the albums, and Josh and I are just becoming new friends here, so I cannot wait to have these same discussions with Josh, and hopefully...
Use that friend term loosely there, buddy.
Fast and loose with friend. I got friends in low places.
Get lost, Hoser.
Josh is one. Take off, eh?
So, hey, so let's end their torture. Sign us off, Andrew. Oh.
Let me think of something cool to say, because I'm not that cool. In the immortal words of Jack Blades, I love the way you use. I love the way that you use me.
I thought you were going to go, keep it up! Keep it up!
Keep it wild!
You say it, Jack.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for watching, if you're still watching.
All right. That's the end.